Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to talk about this. It's I wanted to show farmers how the equipment works when they don't look underground. They just see on top and they think, oh, it's doing a nice job. And it's really great to move the soil away. But the problem was, let's say you have a soil that's been tilled to 10 inches, and then you want to show them how vertical till, which is only 1 to 3 inches, how that is changing the soil. Well, if you do it to natural soil, you're not going to really see those effects. And they'll change over across the field because it's so variable. So we thought, well, let's create our own soil. And that was easier said than done, but I want to give a big shout out to Phil Glagoza and Doug Holland, who's in here, and they're my co-workers or co-conspirators. And we've been out doing this. This is the second one that we did. We did the first one to show compaction. This one we're showing tillage. So my core beliefs is that when I'm working with the farmers and I'm in extension, that there's a three-legged stool where you have the university giving the research and the government programs out there to support the farmers, give them the ideas. You have industry that creates the equipment and helps them achieve those ideas, and the farmers who actually put it into motion. And if you're missing one of those, the stool does fall over. And so in all of our programs, we make sure that all three of these guys are represented very well. The benefits to it is that they bring up a lot of ideas, especially when I have industry in there, that I never thought of. Even simple things like when I'm running a conference or a field day, and they say, well, how do we unload the equipment? I'm like, I don't know. And how, you know, is a forklift okay? And they'll be like, no, it's 5,000 pounds. Oh, okay, so we need a what? And so you have to, just for logistics to have those guys come in, it just makes it so much better. And they also tell you, they start to build trust with you and say, you know, we want to be around the participants more. We want to do this. And so then you get this collaboration going. And the farmers, of course, will say, well, that's a wonderful pie in the sky idea, but I'm not going to put it in my field. Okay, well, what do we need to do to change it? And so they help you come up with this. And so I appreciate that feedback very much from them. So this is the soil that we're creating. It's a Bredo soil series. You haven't heard of that because that's the name of the farmer that let us do that to his field, the first one. And how do we get started? Oh, you got to find interested people. You can't have people that are like, Jody, this ain't going to work. Find people who really do have to share the views that you have, because if you don't, honestly, they can sabotage it. So they just bring up too many speed bumps, you know, and slow you down from getting it done. And believe me, there are people that are very interested, so you don't need to settle. We get together as a group. I have an idea of what I'd like to do, and Doug and I have, and Phil talk about how we want to, what the message is that we want, but we leave a lot of it open. And then the industry and the farmers say, well, how about this? And you're like, oh, great idea. And okay, now how can we do that? And so we sit down and we get that measured out. I do not go in with my agenda, or else why bother having all of them there? And then we line up equipment. That's where a lot of collaboration comes into, because John Deere and Case need to supply all the tractors that are at these. We need, if we're showing tillage equipment, and at this place we showed, at this one, 11 different pieces, and I want them to come from many different sources, because I don't want to just show all red equipment, because then what does that say about the university? Well, we've been bought, right? So, or that will be the perception. So if you'll look out there and you'll see lots of different colors. And this is just my little public announcement here. Make sure that you call your local utilities, because anything over 18 inches in Minnesota, you need to call Gopher State so that they can flag the area. And we do soil pits at 4 feet, so that needs to be done. So we call in a lot of favors. A lot of those ones out there are FFA kids, strong backs. It's nice. And they don't mind getting out of school to help you out. So we have the NRCS, the Soil and Water. We have the commodity groups are phenomenal. They really do help out with the labor, the money, just resources. And we start building these pits out there. You have to figure out how wide you want them, how long you want them. We had different challenges, because in the soil compaction one, I wanted to make sure that the equipment went fully on top of that pit So you got the full compaction before it went back out. So you had to have very wide pits, but not very long. Now I'm looking at equipment that does not come smaller than 35 feet. Like, I don't want to build a 70-foot pit. That takes a, well, and I didn't. I'd have to say that was really Phil and Doug. I was a supervisor. if you play it right, you can do that. And so, you know, you have to figure out what equipment's going through and make it long enough so the equipment can get through there. And practice, please practice. Don't do it a day before, because building these soil pits, we've learned something different at each one. If it's raining, the sand's going to set up like cement. Okay, so be careful. We had one where it was drizzly and it set up like cement, and that was the compaction study one. And of course, it kept the weight of the equipment up, and it was like, it was kind of devastating. But this one we're looking at for tillage. And so we go in there weeks ahead to try to see what happens. And this is what happened on this run. We didn't use the same washed sand. If you see in other ones, they'll use like a lime. I was afraid with our heavy, more of a clay loam soil with a high organic matter content, that lime, if it was too wet, might just appear in there. So we wanted to use, we tried beet lime, and that smelled to high heaven. So then we went to sand, and we used washed sand, and we used pulverized topsoil. And we put it in there, and this one's not tamped. So the problem with this one is that you're not sure if you're seeing where we naturally just laid down the layers not evenly, or if tillage did something. So we're like, okay, we need to tamp it, and we'll tamp after the sand. And then we rented a, let's see if it'll run. This is called a side shooter or a sand shooter. And it threw out the soil itself, which was phenomenal. Okay, it will save your back. It's worth $175 a day. Now, it needs to be dry soil, what we found out too. It wouldn't do the topsoil. So the topsoil we had to shovel in, but the sand, we could use the sand shooter. And then you alternate the light and dark shades there. And what we did is we had 2x4s. So we did 4 inches. We laid the board up this way. So we did 4 inches of dark soil, turned it on its side, did 2 inches of sand. So it was an easy way to get those layers. And you can see the wood on the side. So then we fill it in, and then we screed it, which was a new word for me. So I was like, screed, screed, screed. Okay. And what it means is that you just tamp it down and bring the board across so everything is very nice and even. And somebody had to take the pictures. And this one is a completed pit. Now, I'm not sure if you can see it, but on the sides, there's little white dots there. We had urea. So what we wanted to show is how tillage tills in urea. And it was dyed blue just so that we could see it in the soil. That failed. The soil was wet. It rained. What does urea do in the rain? Like it's supposed to do, right? Disappear. So we opened up and we're like, oh, man. So there's some things that you learn each time. We'll never be specialists or experts at this, but we're learning along the way. And then after you get the pit done, now to show tillage equipment where it works the best, you should have it at the proper miles per hour. So this piece of machinery here needed to get up to probably 6-7 miles an hour. Some of them only 5, so they started way in the back, and then they cruised. And it was kind of fun to hear some of the equipment bogged down. Watch the soil. I also learned that you can throw soil. So then you did the tillage through it. That was the shallow till. Here, I can't see. There it is. This one's a strip tiller. So you had it up, because one, the people got to sit there, so we didn't want it all mucked up. And then he set it down and went through it. Okay. And then you take the backhoe. Even on this, you need to know what size backhoe, because some of them can only rotate so far around to pick the soil up and move it. So if you have an extra long soil pit, you want the extra big backhoe, which costs more. If it's a smaller pit, you can have the smaller backhoe. So what we did was go half through where we created the new soil and half through the natural so that you got a soil profile on both sides. And so this is the one for the disc ripper. And I should back up a little bit. What we wanted to show was deep equipment, so anything over 10 inches deep. So we had a disc ripper, a moldboard plow, and we had an inline zone tiller, which goes 20 inches and it's a straight shank, so it should just cut through the soil. This pit here is a disc ripper one, so it has coulters in the front, and you can see in the top 6 inches it did mix that up, the discs and the coulters did, and then you could see where the shanks went. But it didn't go as deep as we thought. Nothing went as deep as we thought. Which I wasn't really sure if I should tell the farmer that, because I didn't want him to set things deeper. Well, I'm not going 12 inches, so I better set it at 14. Oh, no. So that was the one pit. Then we had a medium pit where we looked at chisel plowing, because that's a very common thing in our area. We looked at strip till. And on the chisel plow, we changed out the shanks. So we had more of a sweep and a knife, so that they do different things to the soil, and I wanted that to show up. And then we had a shallow soil pit where we looked at mainly vertical till and field cultivation. We had another natural soil pit so they could see what the soil was and what they were looking at, and we had an NRCS person come and speak on that, Hal Weiser, who does a phenomenal job. And then for fun, this is where the committee stepped in. They said, we want a drone station too. And I'm like, what's that have to do with tillage? It doesn't matter. Drones are fun. I'm like, okay, well, let's have a drone. So we, and it went well, and that's where you learn a lot of new things. So that's me in the soil pit there, and that's one of the machines there, the disc ripper. Then this was the strip till, and I thought that did kind of fun. You know, the mobile plow did weird things. It did, one shank would do something, and the other shank wouldn't. So it's not as cut and dry as I thought it would be when we were looking at these. But that one I thought was interesting what this one did. It's a coulter style strip tiller. So there was no shank in there to change the soil. But also where the tire compaction, you could see that. And so we had a couple of tire people there going, he overinflated the tire. And it's like, okay, the farmer was nice enough to bring in this equipment. Let's just tell him nicely that maybe he might want to check his tire pressure, not condemn him for his tire pressure. Also, the big thing is make sure that people know, 5 minutes? Three? Okay. So this was our shallow till. I wouldn't recommend a shallow till one. It mixed it up so much. Well, I guess that does say something. You know, it does a really good job of mixing. But it didn't, it was hard to see what it was really doing. But what it did show is how, as Francisco, how much it pushed the soil forward. And it in the shallow ones, it was going about 6-8 feet. In the disc ripping, it was showing at 10 feet down. You could see that sand layer on top being pushed by the equipment. So you can tell them, you know, this equipment's erosive. It changes your soil. It moves your soil faster than Mother Nature ever could. So the other thing that we had at the very end was we had competing people out there, or companies out there, with their disc rippers. And they and everybody stayed for this, because to look at equipment is awesome. You don't get a chance to do that, especially competing ones. You know, you might be able to see all of John Deere's line go through or something, but this is, you know, we had all sorts of colors out there, and they stayed for this. The other thing we did was offer a sprayer so that for our evaluations, and we got a really high, out of 200 people, 204 that were there, 110 filled out their evaluations. And that's pretty good. So have a sprayer. Have something, and it was an ATV sprayer, not the big sprayers. This was a zip code map that was created. So those are, the blue dot is where we were at, but that's where the people came from. There was a couple in Iowa and up into Manitoba came there too. And 85% agreed that they would take something that they learned there and implement it on their own farm. And consultants and farmers both said that. And these were some of the things that they said they'd try to do. Reduce their tillage, leave more residue out there, try cover crops, because the natural soil pit talked about cover crops. I left out the part about the drone. And then do nitrogen fertilizer management, because we looked at banded versus broadcast. And then on this too, they said, you know, quite a few came in knowing little or only some about it, and by the end of it, they knew much or very much about it. And that was the same for every station that we had, the 5 stations. It all went up. It was a team effort. We have connections with these people, and we needed them, and to get out this kind of word. So that was the committee on the one side, and on the other side is all the people who helped donate money or equipment to help us out. So it's a big project, and you really need to build those bonds with people. So we also to further this, we made 5 videos that are on our website down below, and also on our YouTube channel. And also the commodity groups have it. The corn and soybean growers have it out on theirs. and you can pick them up and share them wherever you want. And then this last year, because of the success of that one, the corn and soybean growers were, you know, we really want to help you with the next one. And so we did. And that was pretty interesting, but we didn't build the pits. That was a lot of work. Then to further it again, I'm going to write a Joe article on how to make these soil pits. And Doug and Phil are going to help me edit that, right? Now that I got you on the spot in front of everybody and our boss. Create a how-to video on how to do it, because I like videos more than reading how to do it. And then write some more tillage articles by what we learned on these pits and how it moves soil. It will help me write more tillage articles and also make a few more tillage videos. So this is how the day was set up. It was a big day. So any questions on that? You need a little hook.
Yeah. Thank you, Jody. We're out of time. So.
Okay. Thank you.